Good evening.
Good evening.
Brandy, you're the only one.
Only one. There'll be somebody else.
No, we'll wait if someone comes.
Okay. Well, I tell you, we're getting the Sahara sand down here.
What are you getting down there?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of it. It almost looks like the smog in Los Angeles.
What are you getting? You broke up. Was it sand you're saying you're getting?
Oh, no. Let me pull over a second here. We're getting the sand, S-A-N-D, sand from the Sahara Desert.
I didn't know there was a Sahara Desert in Texas.
There's not. It's blowing from the Sahara Desert, and it's coming across the coast in the atmosphere.
Oh, okay, but I thought it would stop in Florida before it hit you.
No, we're getting it too. We're getting a lot of it.
I haven't heard that in the news.
Oh, it looks like smog.
Yeah, no, I know what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
It causes visibility problems.
Right.
Breathing problems or a few other problems.
Right. Well, you'd think since we're children of the desert, we'd be used to it by now, huh?
Well, we haven't been in the desert for a lot of years.
I guess so. I hear you laughing back there.
Right, you broke up. Say it again.
I said I heard you laughing back there.
You want to be back in the desert?
No, not really.
Well, then I'm not sure what you said.
I said I heard you laugh.
You got to try it one more time, Brandy.
I said I thought I heard you laughing about not wanting to be back in the desert anymore.
No, I wasn't laughing. I was smiling. But I wasn't laughing.
Well, that's good.
Well, we got a few more minutes yet.
Okay.
We'll have our long night study tonight, so hopefully you'll join us for that as long as you can.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you.
You're driving again?
I'm driving again. I'm almost home.
One more minute.
Okay.
Randy, it's 10 minutes. We'll try again. Did somebody just come on?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry I'm late. Just things keep happening at my house.
As long as you're here. So we will start. We're in section 44 of the Parsha of Noah. From the Zohar Sulam commentary. We're on verse 371, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kud Shabrechu Ishkinte, Bithilu Urkimu Urkilu Urkilu Urkimu, Leakda L'shem Yudhe Bobache, the Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasot Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Elohimu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Kunenehu. Tachatzei Deha Mila V'yamrei Tatae Bilshon HaKodesh Kol Ho Hele Shema Ya Yadei Deya V'itafe Beyavlishan Achara Lah Yadin Vila Ishtamodai Beyavaldailain Kewandit Baal Bel Lishanadilhon Miyad Bayachtelu Leave Note Ha'ir de'ha'it bar Elayhu v'layakilu V'me'bad midei Biruta dilhon. Come and see. Any words, oaths, the lower beings spoken, and the holy language was known by all the hosts of heaven. They are strengthened by and receive extra power from it. They neither understand nor accept any language other than the holy language. Once the language of the people was confounded, they ceased to build the city. Their power was broken, and they could do nothing more with their intentions. Question, comments, thoughts.
Well, it sounds like the angels were powerless without the language being the holy language of Hebrew. And so nothing could be formed.
It's not that they were powerless.
Mm-hmm.
when the humans spoke the holy language, and they, in their meditations, they visited with the angels, and they forced the angels, they coerced the angels to accept and to make an oath to build the city. And the angels were building the city and the tower in the spiritual realms. But when the languages of the humans were confounded, those oaths were abdicated. And when those oaths were abdicated, they stopped building the city. And the humans mm-hmm. could no longer coerce them into starting building the city again because they didn't speak the language. And the angels do not accept or would not accept at that time any other language. And it's probably still true today.
Including English.
Including English, any other language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we speak English, if we pray in English, there is an angel that converts it to Hebrew.
That's good to know.
Should I go on?
Is that the case? Other languages too, like the French, who speak French and so on?
Yes.
They each have an angel that converts.
All of the 70 languages are converted into Hebrew letters or Hebrew words by an angel.
Okay.
If they're a prayer. If they're a prayer directed to Hashem. And if you do not understand Hebrew, but you say the words in Hebrew, your Kavanah makes the angel that is created by that word, that's carrying that word directly up to heaven, the fact that your Kavanah is not complete makes the angel incomplete. But we also have to
mean?
Realize that
it would be incomplete. What does that mean?
Well, every action that you do creates an angel.
Right.
Creates a metaphysical being. But that being has the four components. Is your action proper? Is it the right time? Is it the right place? And does it have the right kavanah? So if any of those four are lacking, the angel that you've created is lacking in those areas. And so when it rises up to heaven, it's not complete, and it waits until it becomes complete.
I would have thought it meant lacking in strength. Mm-hmm. I would have thought it meant lacking in strength, but yes, you pinpointed it to what we know as far as Kavanah. Thank you.
The Kavanah, it does lack strength, but that strength is composed of the four components.
Well, you know, when you say complete to me, I see an angel with missing body parts. And that's why I said, what did you mean by complete? You know, I was thinking physical form.
That's the way it's been described. So an incorrect sadhana, it's missing its head.
So, if I'm understanding is if you don't understand the Hebrew word that you're actually saying when you're praying, then you're creating an incomplete thing. So it's pointless.
You're creating an angel that is missing body parts, as Hannah said.
Well, I guess I have a lot of uncompleted body parts angels up there.
Well, you have to remember, if you've ever read a translation of the Hebrew that you're praying, then you do understand it on the higher level, on the head level.
So it's not like when you say the Hebrew word, you know, you're automatically translating it to your language as you're saying the Hebrew. So if you've read, what you're saying is if you've read it already, then somewhere in there you've got it. And you're just saying...
Somewhere in your brain, you've read an English translation of a verse that you're using as a prayer.
Okay.
And so that translation, in your head, there is that kavanah, and that's never forgotten.
Oh.
But it may not be on your conscious level, but it's on your unconscious level.
Okay.
But that's why the sages have said it's important that you pray with understanding. And the more that you learn about the prayers you're saying, the more complete is the entity, the angel that you're creating. Should I go on to 372, or do we still have questions on 371?
No, I think you can go on.
Lechevle shemeya dielaha mivarach min alma v'yad alma dihachmeta ugurata delay he to have begin the unhate could shabri who raze de hachmeta leal my eat cow kelu beya bene nasha uva ol eat gara beya. Blessed be the name of Elohim, from everlasting to everlasting, for wisdom and might are his. Because the Holy One, blessed be he, brought the secrets of supernal wisdom down to earth, the people became corrupt and wanted to provoke him. Questions, comments, thoughts.
So, what is it talking about with supernal wisdom? Is that the Torah?
Supernal wisdom is the Torah. Supernal wisdom is the consciousness of wisdom, the consciousness of Chachma. Chachma can be pronounced Koachma. Koach means strong, strength, or power. Ma is a question word. What? What is wisdom? What is Chachma? It is the power of questions. The power of what? Supernal Chachma, supernal wisdom, is higher level. It's the level of our unconscious. It's the level of of the unconscious frame of reference in the spiritual worlds, whatever that means.
I think the influence of Nimrod played a big part in that. That using his idol worship, negative system, whatever we want to name it, caused them to doubt, you know, in Hashem.
The
tend to have a tendency to congregate together, you know, after following someone.
Well, and Nimrod has the ability to
influence.
More than brainwash. The influence on a level that well, we see it in many places in the world today. Men of power are influence people, and the people are, you know, not doing their own investigations. They're accepting the words they're hearing. They're in being influenced by the men of power.
And you can talk yourself out of things with just intellectual, I don't believe that, or, I can't believe that God would expect that of, you know, of me. I mean, you can talk yourself out of of what you really know down deep, or even if you don't know down deep, you can convince yourself, well, it just doesn't make sense, or I don't believe that. I've heard that so many times just with keeping kosher. Well, we don't live in an area where it's feasible. You know, there's shrimp, there's crawfish, and God created all those things, and everything he created was for good. Well, part of that's a truth, but part of it isn't a truth, you know. So we get a lot of statements like that are contrary to Torah, that are contrary to the Zohar, that are contrary just to, you know, Jewish halakha even. So
I was in a discussion with a rabbi this morning, and one of the other participants in the discussion came out with the statement, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it was really accurate. There's too much man wisdom and not enough God wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was using that to say anything that's a metaphor, that you perceive the Torah metaphorically, that isn't right. The only way to understand, in her case, was the Bible. The only way to understand the Bible is to see it literally. What the words say, that's what they mean. There's no metaphors there.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I do not have to follow what the sages say, because that's man wisdom. And that was, she said that in many different ways over the months that we've had these discussions with this rabbi. So it's the same idea. So I'm going to call the class right now, and our 7 o'clock class, come in. Our 7 o'clock class will be a long night, will be the study of the Ari, extensive study of the Ari for his Hilulah tonight. So shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom.